The Farther Reaches of Human Nature, Part 10, from the Abraham Maslow Audio Collection. This recording was made in 1967 at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. Recordings from the Maslow Audio Collection are available from abrahammaslow.com.
And this is part of that problem of evil and of bad behavior and so on. And where does it fit into the humanistic psychology and education and the like? And I want very much to say something about this, about the conception of anger, hostility, cruelty, sadism, and so on, and how does it fit? And here, the really big question, ultimately, it may be the biggest question confronting all of science, is how instinctive, how biologically necessary, how directly biologically determined is aggression, cruelty, malice, hostility, and so on. Well, I think we know a great deal about it. I think this would be, if I were a young man, by the way, and had more vigor and energy and so on, and was able to stay up all night the way I used to, I think this would be the most important job to do, is a book on just this topic, malice, evil, nastiness, aggression, so on. Because there's a great deal known about it, only it's scattered in five or six different fields, so that very few people know all of those five or six fields. Well, this I'd like to summarize. I'd like at least my opinion. I dare not label it more than that at this moment. It wouldn't be honest. But my opinion and the kinds of data upon which I base my opinion. That is, it's a scientific judgment. But I will admit that it's possible that there are areas of knowledge that I don't know enough about. You should know everything in order to be able to handle this. That, first of all, it's very, very clear that aggression, cruelty, malice, hostility, and so on, are practically universal. That is, at deeper layers. Any person who does psychotherapy finds this generally to be true. Now, the big point here that I'd like to stress as most important, certainly most important it was for me, was the finding that in the course of psychotherapy, that not that aggression disappears, it doesn't, that aggression changes its quality. And this is, I think, the big secret here for future research, that as people report to you in the beginning, as they uncover themselves, they report malicious things and a little cruelty here and sadism there and nastiness and so on, and we all have that, some, that as you find the person becoming healthier, whether in the course of psychotherapy or in the course of a good life or in the course just simply of a satisfying good fortune and so on, you find that the malice and cruelty change into healthy self-affirmation. That is, they change into healthy aggression, you might say. Not that aggression disappears, but that from somebody who goes scratching at people just for the pleasure of causing pain, you tend, in a healthier person, to get a person who is able to be righteously indignant, to attack injustice, to so on. The person without aggression, remember, is a person who's, well, in the first place, he just doesn't exist empirically. You figure it must be repressed or controlled or suppressed or whatever, hidden. But the person, for instance, one finding in one research that we did, not finished, unfortunately, was that the healthier college students, the more emotionally secure, as contrasted with a group of less emotionally secure, can actually let their aggressions out more freely, wholly, expressively, and without feeling afraid of their own aggressions.